Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Oh, it's not on yet.
Now.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
I don't know who I am. David Brownstein, good morning, Peter. What a professional show we have. Oh, God.
Now you're
Peter's choking.
You're choking me up.
Yeah. There you go.
Why don't we just go home?
No.
I'm done.
No, this is a good start. We're in a good start. We're on our way.
Well, you said a professional show. I always used to tell the story how we went to National Public Radio many years ago.
Wow.
And we sent them an audio of the show, and we met with the president, you know, locally.
Yeah. WNED. Yeah.
He says, well, I like your show, but you're not professional.
That was a compliment some respects.
Right, exactly. He said, we need professional, you know, everything scripted, you know, and this type of thing. You know.
Never mind.
I said, forget it, not us, that's for sure. You know, we're lucky we show up on the days. You know,
we get here.
Exactly. Anyway, it is Saturday, February 10th, 2018. It's 10:05 in the morning. And this show can also be picked up at our website, sapperston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. Shows are live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on most devices that connect to the internet. All of our shows are also archived at the website.
Our professional shows, yes.
Our professional ones are there, right? Are archived. And also at the website, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. And it's usually up late Friday or early Saturday morning, whatever, you know. And usually concise, understandable for economists, you know, that it's their little take on what happened in the economy, you know, during the previous week.
They put a little opinion in it, and, you know, I don't always agree with it, but, you know, it just it's interesting. They talk, you know, we had a pretty volatile week for those that were stuck in a hole somewhere. But and you hit the nail on the head. You said, I think it was Monday or something, you said this market's going to trade 20,000 points. I don't know if you said this week or this day, but I guess it did. The ups and downs have just been tremendous.
It's been amazing, yeah. But, you know, one thing I will say, too, which I always have to say, too, the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York. It's rebroadcast at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then the show will be on after the sporting event. And we tried something new last week, which worked pretty nice, and I'll try it again. If you go to the website, sapperston.com, that's SEPERSTON.com, and you click on the tab that says Dollar Doctor, and then you drop down to live streaming, And once that opens up, you can go down to the bottom, and there's a little, what are we allowed to say it is? Our compliance officer had a little hissy fit, right? So what do we call it?
I don't know.
Whatever it is, there's a thing down at the bottom where you can type in a symbol, you know, that you might want us to
cover. We're going to call it Sandbox.
We'll call it the Sapristan Sandbox, I guess, yeah. You know, and you'll see a little message thing where you can type a message in. And David will watch it during the show, and we'll be able to talk about a particular stock if you want to type in a symbol. If you're the type of person who doesn't want to give us a call, but if you do want to give us a call, the phone numbers are 803-1520 or toll-free 800-879-7541.
Because this is a caller-driven show.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to hear you. I hear you all week, and you
There's
hear
a lot
me.
Of good stuff, though.
From you?
No, not from me. There's a lot of good stuff from Barron's this
week. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That people should pick it up because it covers some interesting things, to say the least, which I might cover if there's no phone calls, which that'll encourage everybody not to call because they're so interested in what I have to say from Barron's, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. On the down day on Monday, what was the market down, 1,100 or something?
1,175,
like that?
But at 3 o'clock it was down 800. At 3:06 it was down 1,600, and right. 10 minutes later it was only down right. 800.
And I said to somebody during the day in the office, I said, this is unbelievable. I said, unfortunately, we have to sit here and watch this, all right? You know, 1,000 points shocks a lot of people. You know, and it was, what, almost a 4% decline or 4.2% mm-hmm. decline, whatever it is. But, you know, 1,000 points isn't what it used to be many years ago. And I said, there's a lot of people who have been around a long time, and when they see 1,000 points, they think about way back then, and it's really catastrophe. You
know? Right.
That was bad enough. I mean, I don't want to see the market down 1,000 points in a day. But I said, you know, during the day, the swings during the day, unbelievable. Mm. So if you're a chartist, then you do a bar chart, and you do a daily chart. Each bar represents the day's trading range, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I did a daily chart for that day, the low to the high would be 11, you know, whatever.
1,175.
At least 1,100 points. Because yeah. I think it closed at the low for the day, you know. So it might not have been exactly 1,100.
No. It didn't close at the low of the day.
It?
The low of the day was down 1,600.
Oh, 1,600, right.
Yeah.
So the range would have been even more than that.
Yeah.
So the range for Monday would have been unbelievable. And I forget what the total would be. But I said, I bet you if I did a bar chart with 5-minute bars, okay, and every 5-minute bar is the range for that 5 minutes, and I went from the lowest 5-minute bar to the highest 5-minute bar, which tended to be every 20 minutes or so, right? Mm-hmm. That you add up all those swings during a day, I bet you it had to be at least 5,000 points, at least that. During a day. And I read somebody today said there was, on that Monday, there was 29 reversals in the averages that
right.
day. You know?
Right.
You know, so something else is affecting the market.
Well,
nobody knows.
It was all technical.
Right.
I think,
well,
along with fundamental and algorithm. So it was a
It's
it was
all
a
sorts
confluence
of people. Barron's is giving you reasons. Everybody's got their reasons for why that happened, okay?
Yeah.
But it was kind of amplified by all these leverage products that are out there, the ETFs that are out there.
ETNs,
and so forth and so on. And there's an interesting article in Barron's, and I don't know if it's the death of volatility or where volatility goes to die.
Wow.
And one of the ETFs, which was an inverse VIX ETF, and actually it was an ETN, which makes it worse, right? Because that's a debt instrument.
Yeah. It's a senior, unsecured, unsubordinated debt security issued by an underwriting bank.
And whoever issues it intends to make good on the price of whatever
right.
the instrument is, okay?
Right. And they have a maturity date, and they're backed only by the credit of the issuer, actually.
And I was looking at that ETN, I think it's XIV, and I think mm-hmm. it's run by Credit Suisse, all right?
Okay, not a bad company. But
the day on Friday closed at 109, okay? You know what it closed at on Monday?
Mm-mm.
7.
Yeah.
90% drop, you know. And on top of that, you know, what happens is they're forced because now it's leveraged and they have to go into the futures markets mm-hmm. and buy the VIX long because this is a short VIX, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, amplifies the movement in the VIX, which frightens everybody and just plays
sure.
on itself, you know,
yeah.
and it just goes on and on.
Well,
anyway, they're going to have to take a hit on that, and actually they're closing it out.
You know, yeah, a number of it'll
be closed out.
People lost everything.
Exactly. You know, just unbelievable. And they always warn you that an inverse or leverage product is a losing bet for the long term. And we always warn people about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold it, you know, no question about it. Matter of fact, they said that in the prospectus, if you read at 197, page 197, somebody said, who the heck's going to read up the page 197?
Yeah, really.
There's a something in there which says that in the long term, this will tend towards zero, all right?
Ah, nice. Yeah, that's a,
isn't that nice?
Yeah, yeah.
Page 197.
They covered everything.
Exactly. Anyway,
yes.
Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Phone lines are wide open. We're going to go first to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Vic.
I have a question for you, David. You're the fixed income guy here. Someone establishing a portfolio, say on Monday, they're starting from scratch, looking out 5 years, they want to go 50 equities, 50 fixed income. Where would you be putting money on the fixed income side looking out 5 years? I'm not looking out 20 to 30.
No, I understand. I understand. So there's no doubt, and regardless of a person's tax bracket, I would look at a senior floating rate or sometimes called bank loan fund. The one I like, and it's a 5-star rated fund by Morningstar, is the Morningstar Senior Floating Rate Fund. You, whatever class you want to buy, you know, look at it. There is a fee to do so, obviously, but these are floating rate funds. And when we're in now, obviously, an environment where interest rates are going up, for about 35 years, interest rates did nothing but go down. And so you could have a longer term fund. So now you need to look at senior floating rate funds. And that's what I would do, without a doubt, unequivocally be, whatever, without
a
doubt.
For the entire 50%?
Sure. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Rates are going up. And if you buy anything that is anywhere longer, that's not going to adjust on the way up, you're going to lose your principal.
Now, let me ask you a question. What are the different choices with these type of senior floating loans? What do you have? It's a duration? You pick a duration? Or
no,
what?
No. It's a group of bank loans that Oppenheimer puts together, Eaton Vance. They all have them. They all have them out there. But it's the duration is 0.19 on this. 0.19. So if interest rates go up or down 1%, the theory is that this fund will go up or down by 0.19, or call it 0.2%, as opposed to, you know, even some intermediate term bond funds have durations of 4 or 5. And how you can buy something in an environment that interest rates are going to go up, you can't buy anything. I don't think you can buy anything, especially if you're going in new like that. Like you said, it's a brand new investment.
So let me ask you a question. So over, if say, let's the scenario where interest rates trickle up steadily over 5 years, what could one respect as a total return per average per year for 5 years?
I can't give you that. Past performance, you know, I just can't, you know.
Are you going to get 1% out of it?
Oh, I would.
What
do
they
think
yield
so.
Right now?
Well, the SEC yield is 4.8%.
Okay,
that's a dividend. And the managers shoot for a 4% current yield. That's taxable. But that's what they do. It sounds great. And you look at the track record, it's 5-star. I'm not always a great proponent of that. But, you know, in its class, they're one of the top-rated funds. And, again, there is a fee. You could look at a Vanguard. You could look at a Fidelity, you know, if you have accounts there. T. Rowe Price has them.
It's called a senior bank floating loan.
Well, it's senior floating rate.
Senior floating rate. And then if interest rate were not to trickle up and go up at an aggressive fashion, you're not going to get killed on the principal.
No. 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 If they don't go up in a rapid fashion, you're not. And if they do, you know, over the longer term, you're going to be a lot better off, I believe. Now, again, Vic, it's been 35 years since interest rates have been going down. We haven't seen this type of environment before.
Okay.
At least I haven't. I've been in the business 40 years. I remember in the 80s, of course, rates went up, but then they started coming down.
Yeah, I'm just looking for something better than cash. That's what that's my point.
Yeah,
I agree with you on the other scenarios, even REITs. If interest rate, are you going to get killed on REITs also?
Anything interest sensitive. anything interest sensitive. It's an inverse relationship because somebody that owns a current bond or a REIT or whatever, or a mutual fund, and is earning 6%, when rates go up, they need to go out and they need to adjust that current instrument in order to get a current yield. If rates go up to 7, well, this principal is going to drop because of the underlying rate of interest that it's paying. So you can pay less for it to get that higher yield. It works the opposite. It's an inverse relationship with bonds.
And a final quick question. Are these the senior loans, they're more suitable for a KEO or just a taxable account?
Either way, yeah, a tax exempt, a qualified account, you're not paying any current taxes, so you would never buy a tax exempt product in that. So I just think, depending on people's tax brackets, if somebody's even in a 25% tax bracket, and let's say it isn't paying 4.8, say 4%, after tax, real simple, 25% of 4 is 1, so you subtract that, you end up with 3% tax free.
Yeah, that's still much better than with the interest rate risk. I just don't like anything, you know, anything. Even those a 10-year, you're going to get hammered if these interest rates go up.
Yeah, and it depends on how rapidly. That's the $64,000 question.
Okay, guys, thank you. Good show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open again, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And as we mentioned before, if you don't want to give us a call for one reason or another, but you're interested in the particular stock or in general, yeah, just stock in general, you can put the symbol in. You go to our website, saperston.com, saperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. That drops down. Click on the live streaming. Go to the bottom, and there's a little chat box in the bottom that you can use to put in your symbol.
Yes. And we can't, somebody wants doesn't want to call in or can't call in, is on there and wants a quote or something. That's what we're going to do. We can't really answer a lot of questions. There's some questions on there asking us some probability or risk and this, that, and the other thing, and leverage products. I can talk about it, but that's it, Pete. Somebody's asking, you're looking at it too, so I don't have to repeat it. But
well, I mean, I'm looking at the question, and it's something I'm basically covering. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on in the market, okay? And I did make the comment to somebody, you know, back in 2007, 2008, it was the derivatives that blew up the market, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there may be something out there right now that we don't know about. I have no idea. You know, in other words, I don't know what's tied to what out there. I know these inverse leverage, as I mentioned, this inverse leverage VIX product caused a major problem. Mm-hmm. So the risk is out there in terms of you don't know what products are tied and what these leverage products can cause
and somebody, how deeply they're tied to something else.
Exactly, to something else. And also somebody mentioned, said there is no stock market anymore. And what he meant by that was right now there are more ETFs and mutual funds than stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and therefore, you know, they hold the stocks. But if nobody's trading the stocks, what happens? You know, it's or if people are selling the stocks, it's a problem. So yeah, there's a different kind. I don't want to be frightening or anything, but I haven't seen this kind of volatility on an intraday basis ever in my life.
Right. Well, okay. This is something again. We cannot correlate anything in the past to this because we've never had the amount of volume, the amount mm-hmm. of trading, the amount of products, the amount of volatility.
Exactly. Yeah.
35 years, rates have gone down. Now, we know they've been going up for the last couple of years, but just gently. And now, you know, that's one of the things. But the economy is not great.
But,
it's okay. It's not
whatever.
Bad.
That's not. Barron's disagrees with you, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story when we have when we have a moment.
But at any rate, in terms of, so obviously there are these things. But the other side, they work the other way too. Those products can cause a melt up in the market too. So you really don't know. But definitely, it's increasing the volatility in the market.
ETFs, unlike mutual funds, when they have a selling frenzy, ETFs have to sell the underlying mm-hmm. stocks. Mutual funds can sell some but borrow
exactly
in order to meet liquidations.
Yeah,
ETFs can't, and we haven't had that before. Yeah. We haven't had this since 2008.
And there are what, thousands of ETFs out there? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's
like a lottery ticket.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So nobody's ever seen what the ultimate effect can be with the ETFs.
Well, we're seeing it now.
But part of it, yeah. We think, you know. You know, a matter of fact, Barron said, well, they don't think it was all that. They said they might have caused problems, but they said it's more the fear of rising interest rates and fear of an accelerating economy, which will increase inflation. So Everybody's got their opinions, you know, but you got to realize all these products are out there and they're causing a lot more volatility than we've seen in the past. So give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go next to Judy in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I haven't been into bonds. In fact, I hardly understand bonds, but I do have in my retirement account some tips, and I wondered if David could compare these senior floating rate funds, which I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't even know where one would find what one would look them up under. Compare them to TIPS, because he was so enthusiastic about them. I wondered whether TIPS wouldn't be in the same ballpark.
Well, it's a bond, but it's tied to inflation. They're called Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. So,
but isn't that what the senior floating rate one is?
No.
Oh gosh,
I'm all mixed up then.
No, but it's a similar idea that it moves in certain ways. So a TIPS investment you would want to buy in an ever-increasing inflationary environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be protected in that. So I have never owned any TIPS bonds. I just haven't in my career. I just haven't. And I would rather own, with the interest rates going up, trying to peg inflation is very difficult. So I'm sure there's some very good ones out there. I am just familiar with zero of them. I just don't do them.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think I'll sort of put this in the category of things I don't understand and maybe just watch them.
Well, you can go on Morningstar.
Well, yeah, you know, pay attention to them. And you know, some people, you know, different people, that's why advice is always difficult, you know,
sure.
You know, terms of risk tolerance and their strategies and what they're trying to accomplish. But, you know, certain people might have a portfolio where they have a certain percentage of TIPS in there. They have some floating rate. They you know, never bet all in one direction, you know.
Right, right. So, diversification.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, but now for the more interesting thing.
Uh-oh.
Overstock, it's going to come back. I'm just wondering, you know, what it looks like now. When I talked to you 2 weeks ago, I think we were looking at it going up to a high of 129, and it proceeded to go down to, below 70.
Well, I don't know. Did you call and say you had a call, though?
Yeah, I've sold a put.
Or sold a put, and we said we'd get out of that?
Yeah, well, I'm still in it, and I think it's going to be, it's not going to be, it's not going to be put
you,
to me.
You didn't get exercised on that?
No. Well, wait a minute. I didn't, actually.
Boy.
I got out.
Oh, you got out. Thank God.
Well, I had two of them. So I bought one back, and I got out. And I was very thankful to you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, somebody called, I don't know if it was last week or something, and I said, look like Overstock could go into the low 40s.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I think it's on its way back.
Well, you might be right. I mean, it all depends on the market. You know what I mean? You know,
right. I think I misspoke. It was, I've got two, Overstock and Labu. I think Labu was the one that was aiming for 129.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I misspoke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, that's what threw me off. I said, I can't believe we said 129 on Overstock. Although we've been known to make mistakes at times.
The only thing you make really terrible mistakes on is your politics.
Oh my God.
When you keep it out. Because sometimes I just turn it off when you start going on one of your rants.
I haven't done that in a long time.
No, you haven't, but I have a long memory.
Oh, that's the problem. Oh, no, I'm not. No. I almost said something.
I'm not saying anything, Judy.
It might be offensive, too, but anyhow. You almost tripped me up there, but anyway.
Okay.
Where are we?
Politics aside.
Right.
let's look at Labu, which is a, it's a biotech.
Yeah, it's
triple action.
Yeah, triple, which we say never hold triples for the long term. That's
right.
For sure. But yeah. Well, I mean, you're kind of at a critical juncture for that now.
Right.
Because the 200-day moving average is at 70.97, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what you're at? 70.87. Yeah. Or 70, no, it's 79.87 you closed at, right? And the 200-day is 70, so it's actually far away from the 200. So that's not bad. Okay. All right. So you're a long way from the 200. So that's probably the risk. I don't know why that's showing up. Hang on a second. There's something bothering me here. So, yeah, it's 7097. So, I mean, the risk is down to that 200-day moving average if the market keeps correcting, okay?
Mm-hmm. So what's the 200-day moving average at?
7097.
7097. And it is at?
79. Let's see, where is it? 7987.
7987.
Yep.
Well, I had sold a put on that and for 80. So I've got my fingers crossed we've got it expires next Friday.
That'll be interesting. Only because, see, what's interesting, you know, this will depend on the market, obviously, right? I mean, if the market continued to go down, you know, this will probably go down and test that 200-day. Mm-hmm. But the other side of the coin, one positive on Friday was the S&P essentially, you know, within a point or two, touched its 200-day moving average.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the big rally happened at the end, right. End of the day, right?
Yeah, mercifully.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, until Monday.
And I got to give Willard credit because he called. You know, he's out of town right now. Okay, and he said, I think the market, you know, is going to be down early, but I think it'll close up. I said, I hope you're right, Willard. You know, and he was right. But
a lot of your customers hope he was right too.
Exactly. So you have that possibility, and the market being well oversold on a number of different indicators that
right.
You know, I forgot what there was one, like it's the number of stocks above their 40-day moving averages that somebody follows. And, you know, at the highs, it'll go up above 70 or 80% of stocks are above their 40-day moving averages. And that's kind of like you're in, you know, high territory and just keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the day before Friday, it was at 12%. So only, and you get down to that territory, you're getting down to potential bottom territory.
Right.
And several times in the last few years when it got down around 10 or 12, that was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one time, though, it dropped all the way down to 2 or 6, you know, real real low level. So anyway, but there is hope, you know, and therefore, if it does, then you have a shot at this thing rallying back. And kind of what I do like about it on Friday was that it had unbelievable volume on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually that's some kind of climactic rally, climactic volume, and the ability to finish up. You know, I don't know if it finished higher for the day. I'm trying to think. Open, high, low.
Now this incredible volume. You're not talking about the market. You're talking about.
I'm
Labu.
Talking about Labu itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the day before it closed at 79.50. It closed higher than the day before. That can be an indication of a bottom, all right, in that particular stock, you know. So you have hope for that week.
Well, I hope so. That's very good news. And then the thing that had me pleased about Overstock is the guys on Options Action were talking about it, about Bitcoin-related stocks going up next week because there's, you know, some kind of news is coming out.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And there's some sort of conference, and yeah, they were, you know, looking so that, you know, that puts me in, you know, I'm in a precarious position. And I'm they're right for next week because I sold a put on that too.
Yeah, well, what you wouldn't want to see, obviously, is the low of a few days ago taken out. You know, the downside. You know, and that low is around 48.55. You know.
Oh, so. that would be. That would be really devastating.
Oh, that would be, no question about it.
Yeah, but I don't anticipate
especially
that.
Where it closed. I mean, you know, so.
Right. But anyway.
All right, well, good.
When you play with fire, you got to occasionally.
That's right. Yeah, you know, as long as you know your own risk tolerance, that's right. What matters.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I discovered. This shows, in spite of my years of playing with these things, my naivete, my brokerage firm let me know you can't do anymore. You can't sell any more puts because it just never occurred to me that you know that I couldn't keep on selling puts. And they're telling me you've got to put in more money in order to do this because of all of the puts that I had out there that I had sold, I suddenly had the stocks put to me, I would be, you might say, underwater, like broke. In other words, I had to, would have to be careful.
Yeah, exactly, which is good. I mean, it's protecting you, really.
Absolutely.
You know, no question about it.
I was very pleased to, you know.
Unfortunately, there are people, you know, that they just keep putting up money and keep putting up money, and it just gets worse and worse. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to reconsider selling puts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true, but it's interesting, and it's
not when the market's going down, it's not. It's not very fun.
No, that's true. That is
really
true.
I know. Years ago, I had some experienced client. We were selling him. He liked it. He was taking in the money. And then all of a sudden, I'd walk in. I remember I was at Shearson, Loeb Roads then, and
that's
I'd walk into the office in Williamsville, and I'd see my slot where we'd put our tickets, and I'd see a put notice that he got put 1,000 shares of this, 1,000. It was just, it was not fun. So
no.
That was my last experience doing it.
Yeah, I think the direction of the market is really critical with selling puts.
Yep.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thank
you. Again. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. If Dan can wait 1 minute more, we'd appreciate it. And we'd like to take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctor Show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go next to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
What happened there?
Happy Saturday.
Oh, there you are. Okay. We heard a strange... I'm hearing feedback.
Well, you know, the Canadians have trouble with the wires when they're snowing.
Oh, tell me about it.
Uh-oh.
Hey, remember I told you guys never invest in the Canadian market?
I remember
well,
that.
Well, you didn't have to tell us that. We know
what happened over the last couple of weeks? It's collapsing.
No.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And I can understand that. I mean, well, I guess, okay, energy.
Well, look
and,
at your prime minister. You don't have to go very far.
Yeah, we don't even want to start talking about him.
We're not going to do politics, but yeah.
No, it's just,
but it's your politics. We can pick on your politics. Right?
I have to say I enjoy listening to your rants.
Thank you. Well, it all depends, you know.
Don't encourage him, please.
No, I won't. Sorry. Anyways, I have to say it's a very interesting time.
Oh, to say the least.
Because, you know, like you guys were talking about, I took a couple of minutes last week, and I was looking at stock charts, and you can look at, you know, you can go back years and years in history, and you can look at, like, the relative strength indicators and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to, like, 1940 or something, and there I didn't see ever a time when the RSI was as high as it is as it was now.
Really?
Now, again, I don't know if that really means anything, because I know, Peter, you say, well, RSI doesn't really mean much when you're in a bull market or whatever.
Well, no, when you're in a trend.
You're a trend.
When you're in a trend, either up or down, it can stay high for a long period of time.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in a downtrend, a sustained downtrend, it can stay low for a long period of time. You know, the best use of our, you know, of course, now you could say, well, look, it was warning you, you know.
Right, right.
But the best use of an RSI, most people that our technicians and so forth would tell you in a trading range market, an RSI is good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
What other people will say, you know, if you get a sharp spike in RSI, you know, and all of a sudden in a day or two or three, it jumps up to 80, 90 or something like that,
right.
That's usually the indication of the beginning of a strong move, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, we've had a tremendously strong move over the last 12, 13 months.
Exactly.
So it would
yeah.
be high.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was like at 90. And I looked through history. I've never seen it that high.
Yeah, I don't know.
The market's never been that high.
And the other thing is the rate of drop. I was looking at the rate of drop, and I didn't see ever a time in history when the rate of drop was as high as it was last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that's once again, unfortunately, you know, when it drops that fast, you know, it could be an indication that things will just continue that way. You know?
Well, that's what I'm kind of thinking. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on it.
That's possible, but I never bank on just one indicator. You know, there's no question about that. You know, and like I say, you know, the fact that the S&P came down to its 200-day moving average, many other indicators, if you look up McClellan Oscillator and those type of things, are all in bottoming territory.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean things can't get lower, but they're there. And the Dow and the Nasdaq didn't come down to their 200-day moving averages, you know. So,
but when you see something drop that quickly, I mean, to me, it would seem to indicate a sign of greater things to come. I don't know what your opinion on that is.
Well, once again, because of all these leveraged things out there, we may be in different. You know, I have to say this time is different. You know, you get in trouble when you say that, right? But you don't know what the effect of these products are on these indicators now.
Right.
You know, which are making things look a lot worse, you know. And there's somebody in the chat box put up, you know, Jim Cramer says some hedge funds have to, a hedge fund has to liquidate, right?
Uh-huh.
Which wouldn't be a surprise, okay?
No.
But then again, I was in reading Barron's this morning, they said they think a lot of the funds have done a lot of their selling already, you know, because of how fast this thing dropped down.
Right.
And they had to do, so who knows, you know.
All I know is you don't want to catch that falling knife.
Right.
You know, and some people can trade these type of markets. There's a lot of money to be made, but there's also a lot of money to be lost. I know I don't have that ability. I like to sort of sit back and let it.
Well, no. I mean, I'm more of a long-term guy. I don't, you know, I'm not looking to intraday trade.
Well,
I'm just thinking of long-term, and I'm wondering if this is a turning point.
Well, you put a little in.
Yeah, it can always be. But the interesting thing is that I can give you a different viewpoint from this guy who's pretty good, which is Chris Rowe, R-O-W-E.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the bull market's not over. And he said that you're still in the melt-up phase.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back at the 1990s, late 1990s melt-up phase, that the market had many, I think 5 or 6 10% corrections during that period, all right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said that wasn't anything. All it was, and it's good, you know, because it takes somebody enthusiasm.
Right. The problem that was healthy.
Yep.
The problem with this run-up, this long-term bull market, is that we haven't had many of those 10%. We've had them in industries and in different categories, but we've never had it market-wide.
Oh, yeah, but he's saying this is just the beginning of 10% corrections.
Could be.
Leading
could
to
be
a
the
much
most volatile time we've ever
leading
seen.
Leading to a much higher market.
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed.
Now, that's his argument.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, everybody's got their opinion. Somebody had in the chat box or whatever we call the thing. You know, Jim Rogers said that things are about to are going to get much worse. I said, in my comment in general, yeah, that could happen. But if I look at Jim Rogers, he's been a permabear for years.
He hasn't been right for.
Oh yeah, he's been a permabear.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's
an
intelligent guy.
They only drag him out
but,
when the
know,
market
exactly,
is going through
yeah,
these
yeah,
type of
yeah.
things.
So. I mean, he's been bearish for years. You know, so.
So you guys still aren't. You still don't have the red alert button on.
Not really. I mean, you know, you put your antenna up, you know, and you say, hey, maybe something's going on here, you know. Obviously, once again, you look at your individual positions.
Yeah.
If they broke certain key levels, you know, fine.
Well,
I'll tell you,
I did sell a few things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
And what I've done is I've put in some ridiculous orders in.
Great. I was going to say that.
On top companies like Amazon, Facebook, you know, NVIDIA. Just put some ridiculous numbers in there. Because I'm thinking this is going to take at least a few more weeks.
It could. You know, like going back to those 10% corrections in the 90s, all of them were a month or less, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you think things happen faster, maybe it'll be a few weeks and it's over, right?
Yeah.
If things are happening faster.
Maybe it's a week.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, things happen faster.
I know in my managed accounts, I've been with a 6% stock exposure for several years. I did, even though I liked the idea of a Republican president, a businessman,
right,
as opposed to academics. I never thought this market would have run like that. So I've been waiting for a pullback. I just don't know if it's done, if there's more, but ready to get more exposure. Individual stocks is a different story, but managed accounts.
Yeah, but still,
more.
I mean, even individual stocks, I mean, you're, if the market's going down, I mean,
oh, yeah. But
even individuals are going to be a hard time to stay up there.
Yeah, but what you want to look at is those stocks now that are...
That are holding.
They're holding or went up.
Yeah. You know,
especially those that went up. Okay.
You mentioned NVIDIA. We could have bought it at 214
NVIDIA
2 days
ago. Had blowout for earnings.
Yeah.
You know, if
this
is a good market, that stock would have gone to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to. It's involved in everything graphically.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, I would be looking at NVIDIA, you know, and say, that's on my watch list. It's a good choice.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've done. Like I said, you know, I've taken some of these, you know, really good companies, put in some ridiculous quotes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get hit, because I think this is going to take minimum of a month. And you could see some You could see some huge moves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't heard from the new Fed chair. So a lot of people are waiting to see what he's going to do. Is he going to be a hawk on inflation? Do we have inflation? 4 interest rate increases a week ago. Now they're saying 2. I mean, it changes minute by minute.
Right. You know what I think? I think this to me seems very similar to what happened in 1987. Remember?
Yep. They were referring
massive,
to that.
Massive down move, right? Stabilized within a few weeks, maybe a month or two, and then it slowly started its climb again.
But there was a distinct reason when I think it was United Airways couldn't float a bond issue. Was it United, Peter?
Well,
or
there's
American?
Always a reason, but you know, the bottom line, there was a lot of reasons, you know, Alan Greenspan for one, you know, but that's beside the point,
uh-huh.
You know. But anyway, you know, it had that 20% drop in one day, right?
Right.
It climbed up, and then it did a retest in December. That was October.
Retested
in December,
the top or the bottom?
It retested the bottom.
Bottom.
Test the bottom.
It retested the bottom. Take a look at the charts back then.
Uh-huh.
Retested the bottom in December, then that was it. Then it began a steady climb after that.
So what was that, like a couple of months then?
That was a couple of months. Things happen faster now. A
couple of months.
Things happen faster.
Uh-huh. So you're thinking maybe this time it may only take a month?
At most.
Really?
At most. It may be over.
Wow.
It may be over.
See what happens Monday.
We'll have to see. You know, I mean.
So anyways, let's just pick one. Now. Let's just take a look at NVIDIA.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
And what do you guys think of that, looking at it right now?
Love it. 230, 208 on the close. NVDA.
Now, NVDA, we'll call that up, NVIDIA.
If we look at the critical, you know, points for that.
Well, I mean, what's critical? Okay, but anyway, I mean, a short-term stop would be 216.
216.
Yeah, and
a longer term.
And you know, a longer term stop would be much lower. You know, so
how much?
Well, I mean, you know, on one basis could be 180. All right.
Okay.
And then, if I looked at another one, let me look at it real quick.
I think that's what I put my order in at, Peter.
At 180, there you go. And if I look at, now, the 200-day moving average, if I look at that, okay, is at, let's see, where's that? 200-day, 179. You know, so there you go.
Okay. So if we could get NVIDIA around 180, that'd be pretty good.
It'd be beautiful. It'd be beautiful.
Good luck.
Yep.
You better buy it now.
Right.
Okay, guys. I don't want to take up all your time.
That's right. Appreciate the call.
Pleasure talking to you guys. Have a good day.
I have a whole bunch of stocks that, you know, somebody asked about NBR way back there, you know. And, you know, I looked at it. Obviously, it has to do with the oil prices, which all of a sudden are coming down. I remember I said to somebody last week, he says, well, why aren't the energy stocks going up with the oil prices going up? I said, that's because people don't think they're going to stay up there.
Last I saw, oil's down below $60.
Oh, exactly. You're so always finally, but I was right about it. It went above 60 first before it went below 40. All right.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Peter and I have this ongoing discussion.
Yeah, so I will replay that show for you.
You'll have to find
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I kept it.
I got rid of it.
Forever.
I got rid of it.
But anyway, you know, in looking at NBR, you know, it will depend on the oil prices. It's come down with the oil prices dropping. And I lost the chart on it, unfortunately.
It's a good thing to lose.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not a very pretty one.
Yeah, let me go back. Oh, because I switched it. I didn't lose it. No, I mean, it depends. I mean, it depends on whether somebody's looking to buy it or they're holding it, right? And, you know, if you're looking to buy it, you're bottom fishing, right? You know, it was going up with oil prices, you know, actually rallied up from, not tremendously though, from, 550 to 850. Percentage-wise, that was a nice move. Coming back down, you know, the support's going to be around the 550 area. So if you're holding it, you want to be out if it goes to 4.75, you know, because that's a new low. And if you're looking to buy it, this is an area to potentially bottom fish it, you know. And if it manages to hold, because it's had bottoms in the 5, 5.5 area over the last 2 years.
Not my cup of tea.
So you're closer. So it's a bottom fishing kind of play. If oil prices stabilize and start moving back up, and this can move back up, but there's the support, 5 to 5.5. And if it holds and can turn around, you at least got a shot back at that 8.5 area, somewhere around there. What else did we have on the chatbot?
KeyBank, somebody's asking.
Yeah, but there was other ones before that, though, I'm telling you. I mean, what were the other ones before that?
I don't know. Do Key. I'll look up the other ones.
Look up what other ones there were, because I don't want to leave people way behind.
God forbid.
There's all sorts of them on here. So somebody asked about NVIDIA, which we just talked about, NVDA. MTUM's a momentum ETF. And in looking at that, once again, obviously, that's a relative strength play, and it depends quite a bit on the market, really. No question about that. So let me take a quick look at the chart. MTUM. Maybe this chat box is working too well.
That's an operator.
Let's see. What do we got in MTUM right now? Okay. It will give a short-term sell signal at 100 and closed at what? Closing price.
103.97.
So it would give a sell signal at one. That could be a false sell signal because it would be the first sell signal on this big move up. So ideally, you would not want to see it drop to 100 or slightly below 100. If you wanted to be a lot safer and you're looking to buy it, you'd like to see a little turn up maybe to the 108 area. You know, and that tells you a potential reversal, then you could stop it out if it went under 100, you know, at that point in time, you know. And so that's the way I would look at it right now. It's a good play if the market turns around. There's no question about that. And then let me look at another chart real quick on it. MTUM. Okay. Looking at the 50-day moving average, it's below it. So once again, you want to see it above the 50-day, which is 106. Ideally, a turn to 108 would be a more conservative play, you know, when you're trying to play something that's come down. And if you're a longer-term player, if there's any longer-term players, the 200 days at 96. So you don't really want to see it go below 96, you know. So that's looking at MTUM.
VGT, and somebody asked too.
VG, what is it?
V, Victor George Tom. It's the Vanguard Information Technology ETF.
Yeah, let me take a look at that. VGT, VGT. VGT just gave a sell signal at 158. And, so theoretically with that, it could come down if the market keeps going down. I would think it could go down to the 150 area. So if you're looking to buy it, that's a potential area. And if you did buy it in the 150 area, I would probably stop it out at 138, right in that area. And if you want to see that this is a false breakdown, you want to see it turn back up to 164, which would suggest this was a false breakdown and that's a potential buy. And then you could actually use the 156 level to get out, because that would tell you, no, it wasn't a false breakdown. So those are the parameters for VGT. All right, what else do we have there?
Key, K-E-Y, KeyBank.
KeyBank. Well, the banks should be benefiting from these rising interest rates, you know. So we'll take a quick look at that one. Look at KeyBank.
Close at 20.39.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's been about the area it's been, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it has, you know, KeyBank has really good support, 18.5 to 19.5. That's a nice pullback now toward that support area. I like the stock. I like the fact the interest rates are going up. And I think the potential, you know, if you look at the point and figure chart, the objective for it is 34. believe it or not.
Yeah.
And my next target on a bar chart was around 2026 or so. So I do like it in here.
Yeah, they're digesting the First Niagara merger.
Exactly. And, yeah, no question about it. No, so I'd like to see the support between 18.5 and 19.5 hold on it. So
me too.
That's KEY. So we go back to the telephone, or we got any more?
Yeah, I just want to give one symbol, that Oppenheimer Senior Floating Rate A, Oscar, Sam, Apple, X-Ray. You know, just take a look at it. You can just Google any of the other funds and just compare them. Just take a look. That's all. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to go next to Vic in Venice, Florida.
Nice.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Thanks for waiting.
It's boring here. It's only about 78.
Oh, thank you. God.
So,
how's the snow?
I hope it's humid.
It's perfect. Perfect. David, I'm a fan of floating rate funds, too. I have a couple. Fidelity has a floating rate fund, dividend yield of 3.6%, and average return over the last 3 years of 4.3%.
Yes.
And Transamerica has a floating rate fund, too.
Yeah, the Fidelity, is that the advisor, Fidelity Advisor?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
yeah, I looked at that too, because I've got some clients that have some, actually just recommended a client who has had a bunch of money sitting in cash and told them to look at that exact fund, depending on the share class. Yeah,
it is an option to straight bonds, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday a interview with David Katz. It's pretty good track record. He said, I wanted to ask your opinion about this. He said, the faster the market drops, the quicker the recovery. Do you think there's some logic to that?
I think so, because I've heard people now saying, oh, you're not going to see a V bottom in this market. And I said, okay, you may be wrong. Because of this, all these products that are out here, if the churns, it'll be quick. You know, it'll be very quick, you know.
It has been quick. I mean, 20,000 points in a week. I mean, that's just amazing, the up and down. I mean, it's just unheard of. You can't even you can't even watch it. You blink and it's 200 points. I mean, it's just, it's all computer driven and algorithm driven. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, protect your stocks with certain levels, okay? And that's it. You know, let that determine it. Don't let, you know, don't panic, you know. So you know, some people, they can't take the strain
volatility
on them and the volatility, and they might want to cut back. Fine, that's up. That's up to you. It's an individual type of thing. Otherwise, for people who can monitor their stocks and they have a plan for how they're monitoring them, that's what I would do. You know,
right. And this is a great time that if you know, some, I've heard advisors, don't open your 401k. Well, you need to. You need to open it up. You want to see, you know, what your allocation is. You would hopefully have the ability in your plan to reallocate and rebalance. I do it on a quarterly basis. You know, some people say, you only do it once a year. Well, I'd rather stay more current. So I would do a quarterly. If your fund, if your 401k allows you to do that, or your 403b or 457, you know, it's a good idea.
The only problem with, because of these wild swings and trying to protect your positions with limits, you know, you can blow through your target very quickly.
I mean, that's always a tough thing if you're doing it with a limit, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's pros and cons. Yeah, there's pros and cons whether to use a plain stop order or use a limit, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think. What do you think the significance of the 10-year going to 3%, would that be a game changer?
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, I think.
Could very well be.
I think it's already in the cards that it's going to go to at least that, maybe 3.25. I think it goes to 4. That's the end. I mean, that's not a good sign. But
yeah.
I don't see it. I think, you know, what's happening with that 10 years, it's more speculation than anything else. I think people are hedging.
But it's kind of unlikely that the yield curve would be inverted at that point. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like that would happen.
I think people, it's very difficult for me to hang my hat on this inverted yield curve and a recession and all that stuff. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Although there is a track record when there isn't a new inverted yield curve, there generally is a recession. But based on our economy, well, it would seem that it wouldn't be the case.
Of course, it's steepening right now.
Right. It's,
right.
I forgot, what's the thing? It's incorrectly called the recession 20 out of 25 times. Or so. I don't know. It's just, if you're going to hang your hat on that, I'd suggest you look at it, something else. I don't think you're going to see that when everybody knows it, including the Fed and the World Banks. That's going to. We're not in a recession. I don't even think we're close to it. Could we go into one? Sure. You get things slowing down a little bit, but you've got a lot of stores, and this is a story I was going to tell. I've got a friend who works for Lowe's. He's older. He's working 6 days a week. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're a third understaffed, and they're not the only one. So, you know, that's why there's plenty of room to grow, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I want to ask you.
Well,
I only got
1 minute left, but go ahead.
Okay, just real quick about two stocks. What do you think of Walmart at this point? It looks pretty solid with all the turbulence in the market.
Yeah, I mean, once again, if it's been acting well in this market, you know, on relative strength basis, you want to hold stocks that are acting well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this pull back to 97, if it pulls back to 95, you have a sell signal, a short-term sell signal, okay? And, you know, so basically you have to be a little bit careful because if the market continues down, you know, I would say if it went to 95, I might get concerned about it, you know.
Okay. And Mazer Robotics, and they're reporting next week.
Well, I always worry about earnings, you know. So
I know. That's me, too. I have it. And,
yeah, well,
but it had an amazing
run. I think we have to get off the air, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah. But it looks like it could go down. If the market continues down, it could go down to 51. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Okay. Well, that was busy. We didn't get to all the chat things that worked too well. But anyway, until next week, keep your powder dry. There'll be nice opportunities out there. Do your own research. We'll be back next week.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.